And it is my great pleasure to be here with you today and to have this opportunity to address all of you at the American Public Health Association 140th annual meeting. This year's theme, Prevention and Wellness Across the Lifespan, resonates completely with the National Institutes of Health, but also it really harmonizes with the research at the National Institute of Nursing Research. At the NIH and at NINR, short for the National Institutes of Nursing Research, we actively conduct, fund, and translate team science so that our results benefit the public's health. Ultimately, our research belongs to all of the people of the United States, and we strive to advance health equity across the full lifespan for all populations. This week, as we gather at APHA from many different countries, communities, cultures, as well as a wide array of disciplines, for the goal of advancing prevention, we each share a common interest. We are unique, and our differences that are unique are special, but we share a common interest in advancing evidence-based prevention and practice and through research that is grounded in science. We work to solve the health problems that impact our respective communities and to engage each other in whatever way that is needed to achieve this. In essence, all of us gathered here, though we bring our uniqueness and our differences, all share our own membership in the same family, the public health family, and the same larger community, the global community. Next slide. Today, I want to share with you NIH and NINR's vision for translating interdisciplinary team science into health equity, weaving the tapestry, as Chris has already referred to. Public health as a field and as a social justice goal represents many people, cultures, educational and occupational disciplines, settings, and a myriad of ideas. Much like weaving together different fibers to create a single tapestry, we seek to build interdisciplinary research teams that harmoniously combine to produce the research necessary to achieve full health equity for all. It is only through concerted efforts of building and linking research with improved prevention that at all levels we will hope to achieve that equity we all desire and deserve. Next slide. And so my remarks will focus on three main issues. First, I want to talk about the challenges that we face in addressing health inequities. Next, I'll talk about some examples of the work that NIH and NINR in particular have undertaken to meet these challenges. And lastly, some of the exciting research paradigms that we're using to both advance health equity and reduce the risk of disease. And so with respect to the challenges, I will only speak to these briefly, talking some about factors responsible for both the increased risk of disease as well as factors that contribute to inequities. Next. So as many of us know, there are many factors that contribute to health status, and the context of health should be viewed within a social determinants framework. Many of you also know that there is some justifiable confusion in the distinction between the frequently used terms health disparity and health inequity. A health disparity may be thought of as an objective observation of the existence of a difference in the health status of two populations. A health equity, however, goes a step further and recognizes the political, social, and scientific forces that potentially may play a role in both creating and potentially eliminating the disparity. For the purposes of this presentation, I will be emphasizing the concept of health inequities and how we are working to address them through interdisciplinary team science. As members of the global community, we have a justice imperative to explore why certain populations bear a disproportionate burden of disease and mortality, and what the public health community can do to better address the causes of these inequities. Nursing science, along with many other professionals and disciplines, play a key role in advancing these efforts. We all know at the local, national, and global level, we are facing significant public health challenges. Challenges that might be addressed through prevention and with the goal of health equity in mind. To name just a few, we have an aging population and the challenges of multiple chronic and complex illnesses. We have a growing racial and cultural diversity and the attendant issues of health disparities. Increasing reliance on technology, including in healthcare settings, and a rising demand for clinicians in the workforce. The changes occurring in our society are fundamentally altering the way we think about health science. Advances in public health and medicine now let us treat acute illnesses, allowing people to live longer. But with longer life comes an increase in the number of people living for many years, sometimes decades, with multiple complex and chronic illnesses, such as heart disease and diabetes. At the same time, we're also becoming much more diverse, requiring us to have greater multicultural competency and sensitivities in prevention, treatment, and patient care. Troubling, though, is in addition, despite the advances in health services over the last decade, many in our society continue to experience significant health disparities and inequities. As health scientists, we all share responsibility for understanding the causes and developing solutions to overcome these disparities. The challenges we face are significant, but they're not insurmountable. Many of the socioeconomic and demographic challenges are significantly compounded by behavioral and environmental or built environment factors, which manifest in debilitating and costly but preventable chronic diseases. Poor diet, inactivity, and smoking are known factors that contribute to millions of preventable deaths each year due to cardiovascular diseases and other chronic conditions. These chronic conditions are reaching epidemic proportions worldwide for all ages, nationalities, and classes. Although these diseases were previously referred to as non-communicable diseases, more recently, research is demonstrating more and more that they may be socially communicable chronic diseases, amenable to structural and policy changes in addition to individual behaviors. But, as most of us know, behavioral change can be quite difficult to achieve, especially without reinforcing social norms. According to WHO, tobacco-related illnesses will claim millions of lives annually by 2025. And by 2015, approximately 2.3 billion adults will be overweight and more than 7 million will be obese. At least 20 million of these will be children under the age of 5 who are overweight globally. With respect to HIV and AIDS, it is estimated that 33 million people worldwide are affected with HIV, 90% of whom live in developing countries. AIDS is the leading cause of death in sub-Saharan Africa and the fourth leading cause of death worldwide. And so, as you well know, there is much work to be done. So let me talk about exploring the ways that NIH and NINR are working to address these challenges. The commitment to end health inequities exists across the HHS. Indeed, HHS, Health and Human Services, in 2011, their action plan to reduce health disparities specified goals and actions that the department will take to reduce health disparities among racial and ethnic minorities. With the HHS action plan, the department commits to continuously assessing the impact of all policies and programs on racial and ethnic disparities. As you know, this plan builds on a strong foundation of the Affordable Care Act and is aligned with programs and initiatives such as Healthy People 2020, the First Ladies Let's Move, the President's National HIV/AIDS Strategy, and NINR Health Disparities Program. So closer to home, in 2010, the NIH launched a multidisciplinary network of experts to explore new approaches to understanding the origins of health disparities and differences in the burden of disease among population groups. The NIH Office of Behavioral and Social Science, Chris referred to it previously, and you will be hearing from the director, Dr. Robert Kaplan, has contracted with the University of Michigan's School of Public Health to establish the Network on Inequality, Complexity, and Health, NICH. Comprised of scientists with expertise across disciplines, the network will be the first to apply system science approaches to the study of health inequities. Using state-of-the-science conceptual and computational models, the network's goal is to identify important areas where interventions or policy changes could have the greatest impact in eliminating health disparities. Next. While the NIH has led the U.S. in groundbreaking research, of the 27 institutes and centers shown in this slide, most focus on specific diseases or targeted organs or areas of health research. To address this issue, NIH has developed what is called the Common Fund to facilitate research programs that are transformative and cross-cutting. The Common Fund provides a platform for multiple disciplines and interdisciplinarians to unite in solving some of the most difficult health problems facing the public. Please log on to the NIH website to read more about the Common Fund. A total budget of approximately $544 million is dedicated to diverse Common Fund programs. Moving to prevention science, in order to achieve real gains in health equity through prevention, NIH and NINR have engaged in a concerted effort to combine skills, disciplines, and perspectives to foster partnerships, authentic partnerships, that is, with communities, families, and patients and allied groups to further the science of team science. And I just want to cut to the chase and to say, given the nature of the complex and vexing problems that we're facing, we're well aware that we really need to incorporate a broad array of sciences, methodologies, and technologies. Epidemiology, biostatistics, biology, including genetics, physics, chemistry, you name it, along with nursing, dentistry, pharmacy, medicine, etc. We need to come together to address these complex problems. Within the NIH, I want to focus now on the National Institute of Nursing Research. Our overarching mission is to promote and improve the health of individuals, families, communities, and populations, and we support and facilitate scientific research that is necessary to accomplish this mission. NINR is the prime principal federal agency responsible for the support of nursing research, which includes prevention, symptom management, quality of life, end of life, for which we are the lead institute, and health disparities. We work in close collaboration with colleagues across the NIH community and with public and private organizations around the world. Numerous studies have demonstrated that the burden of disease, as I have been saying, is not equally distributed across and within societies. We know there are differences in morbidity and mortality as a function of race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic status. Nursing science plays a key role in developing the evidence base to address those issues and improve the care for all. Next slide. Over the years, our institute's strategic plans have articulated and emphasized the importance we place on eliminating health disparities. And we have reaffirmed our commitment to health equity in our new strategic plan that was released last year in October of 2011. Our work is centered on funding research that investigates the interplay of biology and behavior, social and environmental determinants of health and wellness for all populations, with a studied focus on underserved and resource-limited communities. NINR has also been a long champion of community and family-based participatory research, and I'll be talking more about that for decades. And our long-standing focus on social and behavioral determinants of health and health equity has become a national focus, as clearly reflected in the inclusion of social determinants as a key priority area in Healthy People 2020 and other national health initiatives. We fund science, team science, that plays a vital role in health promotion and disease prevention, from obesity to heart disease to diabetes to HIV/AIDS and a number of other topics. And we are proud to have several international collaborative studies addressing many of these issues across the globe. I want to give you some examples. And I'm quickly running out of time. So I probably will skip some of the examples, but to really give you some key ones, for example, Dr. Loretta Sweet-Jamat at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing, is leading really trailblazing work in HIV/AIDS prevention. Her research emphasizes health promotion and disease prevention through the development and implementation of a family and community-based translational research in minority populations. She conducted and developed a study focused on adolescent black women. Really, it was a prevention study to promote safe sexual practices. The program was disseminated by black nurses and used audiovisual demonstrations, technical skill building, focusing on several themes: respect yourself, protect yourself, because you're worth it, be proud, etc., etc. This research has really enabled the prediction of individuals and populations at high risk for HIV, has personalized preventive strategies in developmentally and culturally sensitive ways, and has preempted HIV transmission. In fact, the most exciting thing is that this work there's been uptake by the CDC for dissemination across many different venues. And in fact, she continues this work using barbershops and community-based forums. Her work has been identified as best evidence intervention. And it really shows how important it is to develop trusting and collaborative relationships among investigators, as well as engaging the community in the research program. By doing so, ensuring that the design is effective, it's implemented and accepted by communities, neighborhoods, and families. I'm going to, in the interest of time, skip to another example where NINR is really focusing on developing technologies for evidence-based interventions. Research to develop technologies and evidence-based interventions that will directly impact the health and well-being of people both in the United States as well as around the world. And so NINR, recognizing a major gap in healthcare diagnostics, provided an incubator space for seminal investigation into portable point-of-care diagnostics. Dr. Samuel Sia and his colleagues, using a small business grant that the NINR supports, developed and tested a portable point-of-care lab-on-a-chip, a diagnostic device. The first generation was designed to detect HIV and associated co-infections such as syphilis and herpes, and are known to significantly increase the transmission of HIV. The research team has gone on to clinically test this mobile microfluid-based lab-on-a-chip in real-life settings. In fact, this was tested in Rwanda and was reported in Nature Medicine. In fact, there's a YouTube that has been developed, and I would encourage you to go there. It is fascinating. The innovation is incredible, but what is even more exciting is the potential that this technology has. And so with 2 minutes left, I want to skip and talk about I'm moving to some of the paradigms now. And if you could move to research paradigms. Continue. Yes. And so I would not want to run out of time and not talk about two fundamental components that we believe necessary in order to advance science in meaningful ways, and that would be translational and the potential for practical implementation. So in terms of translational science, merely identifying a problem such as health inequity is obviously not sufficient to resolving it. translational research is necessary to move from the basic science phase to the point where successful, practical approaches are developed to address the particular problem in human populations. And ideally, these practical approaches should address the problem quickly, effectively, and hopefully cheaply. Implementation science. That is the next critical phase needed to successfully implement on a large scale the translational interventions. Just as there's a need for the development of formal research protocols in basic research designs, so too there is a need to develop rigorous methodological protocols in implementation science. And one of the areas I've already talked about, another paradigm, is community-based participatory research. NINR and the NIH increasingly is recognizing this as a really profound and important way to collaboratively study and act to address health disparities. Next slide. I've mentioned team science before, but I also want to focus just for a few minutes. Team science is critical in terms of it's a fundamental way to move research and translation forward. It's central to cross-disciplinary science initiatives, and it typically involves diverse teams with members from varied disciplines. I have said to you that the vexing problems that are facing us really are forcing us to move out of our silos into team science. At the NIH, next slide, we take this really seriously, and there is, of course, it is high on our agenda, and there is a new field, the science of team science. The National Cancer Institute, for example, houses a team science program for assessing the value of transdisciplinary research. It's producing helpful practices for efficient and effective collaboration, which have applications to collaborations and clearly to implement behavioral interventions. There are also many leaders in the U.S. and abroad who are creating platforms to disseminate best practices for collaborative team-based science. Two of these are the Team Science Toolkit and the annual International Science of Team Science Conference. I'm going to move on. I want to tell you very quickly, at the NIH, there's a program called the Science of Behavior Change. I don't have time to talk much about this, but it was launched in 2010, and it's really focused on looking at ways to improve our understanding of motivation and maintenance of behavior across multiple disease and conditions. And some of the exciting programs housed under this is, for example, defining mechanisms by which economic incentives alter behavior and inform the design of smoking interventions, through to studying biobehavioral basis of self-regulation and its relationship to eating behavior and excessive weight gain. Also want to mention, next slide, you may have skipped one, but I want to mention that we also have the Healthcare Systems Research Collaboratory at the NIH, and really this is facilitating large-scale human studies that are needed to define disease trends, risk factors, prevention pathways that are typically expensive and time-consuming. The NIH-IC supports studies used in electronic databases, patients and samples collected by healthcare delivery organizations, and this just allows us to investigate problems that no small study could dare to address. Finally, I want to just mention NAPA. Many of you are familiar with NAPA. That is the National Partnership for Action to Health Disparities, and INR is very involved with that. We have a representative, Dr. Paul Cotton. I urge you get onto our website. We are eager and anxious to speak to you. We also have our own health disparities program. We, next slide, have a training program that's devoted to assuring sufficient diversity in the pipeline. We're a relatively small institute, but given that the commitment is robust and large. And finally, NINR is engaged in a number of outreach activities, and unfortunately, because of the major storm, one of these activities that was scheduled to begin tomorrow has been postponed until further notice. That is the large health disparities conference, the science of eliminating health disparities. But stay tuned because it will be convened. And so I have left out many examples of NINR's efforts in prevention science because time did not permit. So I urge you to call us or to log on to our website because we have rich resources available there, and we're also happy to talk to you. Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.